Welcome to the Life Church STL podcast. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope this message encourages and inspires you. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
You ready to get in the Word? All right, good. Because I'm ready to jump in there. God is good. He is faithful. And he has good plans for us. Do you know that? He's got good plans for us, plans for a future and a hope, and hope for our hearts to look forward to all that he is going to do in us in this time, and also the hope of the everlasting, of being with him in eternity. And that is where we are supposed to live. And I'm going to speak today just about the, if you will, the choices that we have that really can change the direction that we move in and where we go, or if you will, because this is a story I'm going to use, make it to the promised land. You know, what is that for us? I mean, I'm not saying like make it to heaven. I'm saying like there are things that God wants to give you and to bring to your life. There are things that he wants you to live in and walk into, and the choices that we make affect whether we will walk into those things. The things that we allow to come into our head and what we measure ourselves up to, which I give you a little insight into the rest of my message. We're not supposed to measure anything to ourselves. It's God. It's God that is the measure. It is him that we measure everything up to. But see, in Scripture, it tells us to fear not. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not. You all know that there's a little bit that we could be afraid of. A little bit. You know, some people may say a lot. I say a little bit, because what are we measuring these things up to? Are we measuring them up? If I measure it up to myself, even though I am told that I'm tall, people ask me to get stuff off of the shelves at Walmart all the time. Excuse me, sir. We were talking about putting a shelf up in the office and so we can put some stuff up. And I'm like, yeah, if we just mount this shelf up here. And I was told, how about here? But no matter how tall we may be here on this earth, you could be 6 foot, 7 foot, you know, if we measure things to ourselves, there's always going to be something bigger. There's always going to be something greater. Always something that we can say, oh my gosh, that's so big. It's too much. But if we measure those same things to God, what changes in our life? What changes? In Numbers 13, starting at verse 1, and here this story just starts out and says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men, to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man. Not just a man, but everyone a leader of these men. Send out these spies to go check out the land. And he doesn't just say, check out this place that's ahead of you. He says, I want you to go send these guys, not just guys, but the leaders, the supposed strong ones, the supposed bold ones, the one that had the leadership capability to lead their tribe, their group within the Israelites. Send them out there to spy out this land, to see what it is that I have for him. And not only just go spy in this land that's in front of you, spy in this land that I am giving to you. He says, already, he says, I'm giving it to you. This is God. And God speaks these things over us too. And I know it's hard to think about sometimes. I even think about stuff that maybe God's spoken to me, and I then look at the thoughts and the arguments that maybe I've had with God and how I have maybe kept myself from things when he has already said that he's given it to me. He has given it to you, this land. Send these leaders out. And just a little brief synopsis first before we go on is that you have these leaders go out, and 10 of them come back with a negative report. Some good stuff, but in a lot of real bad stuff. And you have two come back with a positive report. This land is our land. We need to go in and take it. And in verse 17, it says, then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there is forest or not. But be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. And then just gives us a little excerpt that says, and this time was the season of the first ripe grapes. And this becomes important in the story. But you notice in this scripture that I just read what Moses is speaking and what God is asking them to do is just to scout it out. We need to know what is in this land that God has given us, that he has already said that he is giving it to us. So as we study this, I want us just to think into our future. Not that you can see it, but think ahead a little bit and say, God has good plans for me. God has a hope. He's got this future. There's so many good things that he wants for me and for you and all of us to walk into. And so as we study this, let's just think forward just a little bit and just say, God has got great things in store for us. But they were just to explore, spy, scope out the land in front of them. Hey, is it just camps, or are there strongholds? Is it like fortresses? You know, hey, get some of the fruit and see what kind of fruit. God said he was going to take us into this land that was just overflowing with everything that we need. And I want to know. Let's just see what all is in this land that God is giving us. We just want to see if it's good or bad. Of course it's good because it's the land that God was bringing them to. Is it rich or poor? Forest? Are there forests around there? But God is giving this land to the Israelites. God is giving us, his people, a hope. In a future. Now, as I speak this, my prayer today is that, you know, this has to do with the season we're in, and it doesn't have to do with the season we're in right now. Because this is just every day of our life type stuff right here. No matter what is happening, no matter what is going on. Because I will tell you, A year ago, 5 years ago, these same things are things that happened in our lives. Not the stuff exactly that's happening right now, but I'm saying the things that we can measure ourselves up against, the things that we can look at and back down and not step forward into what God is giving us. So we have these 10 spies. They come back, and it's interesting, they were there 40 days spying out the land, grabbing some of the fruit. We'll read a little bit about that. And in verse 27, it says, "Then they told him and said, 'We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit.'" They're like, the land is amazing. This land that you sent us to spy out is incredible. It flows with milk and honey. I don't know exactly what that means, that flowing with milk and honey. Is this like a, you know, Willy Wonka and Chocolate Factory type of situation? It's not chocolate, it's honey flowing in a river through the land. I don't know. But there was food. There was provision. There were things that they needed. When they saw it, their eyes were wide. And like, the land is amazing. Milk and honey just flows out of it. It's everywhere. And it says, and this is its fruit. Why does it say that? Because it took two guys to hold up one bunch of grapes. That's what it tells us in this scripture. It says, just a little bit later, it says that two guys had to grab this bunch of grapes and put a pole through it and carry it on their shoulders because this bunch of grapes was so huge. This land is amazing. But, and here's where we get ourselves in trouble most of the time. But, leave your butt out of it. In 28, they said, "Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there." See, they affirmed that this was an amazing land and that God had spoken this over them and that it was the reality of what God had spoken over them was coming into their view. And they were seeing this land that flowed with milk and honey. They were seeing this land that was amazing with forests. It was a perfect place. They were seeing the grapes that were so big. You know, I don't know about you, but can I just stop a minute and think about that? Because when we go to the store today and buy a bag of grapes, and the little bunch that you get off of it, you know, and you pull the thing up, and it's got the little branches that come off and all these little grapes, and it's like this big. It's like this tiny little snack. We can't keep grapes in the house more than 30 seconds. I don't know about you. And I'm like, where are these grape bunches that are so big that it takes two of us to carry them? Because I want to go get one of those. I mean, can we see that? Can we see that fruit that is so amazing that God has prepared for us, that God wants to give us? Not the fruit that we've seen before, but the fruit that's so big we can't even carry it on our own. Nevertheless, they were concerned with the obstacles in the way. The people are strong. They're big. They're the descendants of Anak. They're giants. They're huge. In verse 33, it says, "Then we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight." Now listen to this. I was reading this and something just like exploded in me. It's like one of those moments, you know, where it's like there and it's always been there. And I don't know, maybe this is not that, you know, big of a revelation, but to me, it just like did something in me and it just turned something in me. And it says, we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. And can I take you on a little adventure here? Like I'm thinking about this and they're like, oh my gosh, the fruit is amazing. Milk and honey just flowing out of the rocks or something. I don't know. And the grapes that are so huge. And then they walk in and they're just like, wait a second. There's giants here, and this guy's, you know, just huge and just towering over them. And they're saying and speaking this, reporting this back to the people. We felt like grasshoppers compared to these giants over here. But then this last little bit, it says, and so we were in their sight. And if I could explain to you what felt like revelation that came to me, and I was seeing this, and it's whenever we measure these things or obstacles or giants, something that may stand in our way, God has the promised land standing right in front of us, and he's asking us to look at it and see what he's giving us. He's not saying that we'll just skip into the promised land and it'll be padded floors. If you trip and fall, you won't even hurt yourself because you just like bounce right back up because the floors are so padded. You know, I think that sometimes we feel like that. Isn't that what it's going to be like, God? Like somehow there's springs under the floor that like if I just fall because I'm just kind of stupid like that, and then, but you're just going to woo and pick me back up. And you know, like we go through life thinking that that's going to happen, that there's not going to be any obstacles or anything that we have to walk through, but that's not the case. But we were grasshoppers in our own sight, so we were also grasshoppers in their sight. And I saw this picture. And you know what? You know how you see those pictures, the ones that I don't reshare, sorry, on social media, where you have like, you know, the person that's, or let's say the little bitty kitten, and then behind it's like the tiger or the, you know, the lion behind it. You guys all know, you've all shared those. Don't even think, tell me that you haven't. And we may be smaller. We may be this little kitten. But the thing is when they were standing there thinking that they were grasshoppers, thinking that they were this little bitty insignificant thing, they weren't standing in faith of who God is, what he had for them, who he had called them to be, what he was bringing to them. And I just had this picture that whenever we do that, we are basically taking and blocking God from showing himself in us before these obstacles that we face. Now, what if they stood before these giants and said, we're not grasshoppers. We're giants also. You may not see it on the outside, but on the inside, because God is with us, we are giants. What would the descendants of Anak have seen? What would their perspective be in that case? Because I feel like that because they lacked faith, because they were scared. When we're scared, when we're cowering, when we think, whoa, that's so big. Well, whenever they look back on us and our knees are knocking and they're like, what's that sound? It's like, yeah, that's my knees. And God says, I haven't created you to live like that. I haven't created you to cower in fear. I haven't created you to back down when there's some little obstacle. And you say, well, it's not. There were giants. But who are we measuring these things up to? They focused on themselves and their own inadequate resources, what they had. Is what they were focusing on. They used themselves as a measuring stick instead of God. See, the thing is that it felt like when they came back, they were just reporting the truth. Hey, we saw milk and honey flowing. We saw grapes this big. See, this is the fruit. But we also saw giants, and they were huge. We saw cities that were fortified. And I just don't know if we can attack and penetrate the walls of these cities. We're just living in reality here. I'm just living in reality. Has anybody said that before? And I may have in my lifetime, but at some point I grew this like disdain for people. I'm sorry. For that statement. When somebody says, I'm just living in reality, I want to say, whose reality are you living in? The reality that you're creating for yourself right now when you lack the faith to walk forward into what God is calling you to? When you cower and your legs are shaking and you turn around and you walk the other way because there's something that might look big to you but is insignificant to God? Is that the reality that you're living in? I'm sorry. Like I said, kind of gets me a little bit. You tell me. And Tori's done that a couple of times. She knows not to anymore. You know, we're talking about this stuff, you know, and Just once or twice. Hell, I'm just, look, this is reality. Back up the truck. Let's go back and talk about that again. You say, well, this is what's actually happening. I get it. There were actually giants in this land. They were actually there. They were actually towering over the Israelites. The cities were actually fortified. It was reality. But when you compare our feeble reality to who God is, what does it become? What do those obstacles become? I had this little figure thing, little dinosaur thing that I found, and I was going to bring it up here, and I forgot it. But just, it was like, it's kind of interesting, because I found it yesterday. And I was like, this is about the size of a grasshopper. And if I set it on the ground and look at it, it's tiny. I actually found it because I stepped on it. Tiny. And yes, if we picture ourselves to be that little grasshopper, it makes us get all worried and in fear. But see, the thing is I don't want to picture what I look like to the obstacle. I don't want to picture what I look like to the thing that might be standing in front of me. You know what I want to picture? I'm like, okay, here's the obstacle, and here's God. Oh, wait a second. Now the tables have turned. You know, it's like one of those classic, the old movie things. And the tables have turned. Now you have this obstacle. When compared to God, is so insignificant that it means nothing. It is nothing. Anybody follow me? Yeah, you guys all right? Okay, I hope so, because I'm going to keep going. See, what are we comparing these obstacles to? Like these spies that came back, the ones with the report of just, we can't do it. We're not going to be able to make it. But then you have Joshua and Caleb that come back, and they saw the same things. See, you say, I'm seeing reality. I can see it too. I'm just living in reality here. Me too. I see the exact same things that you're seeing. This is what I feel like Joshua and Caleb are just like, look guys, like we were there too. We were there with you for 40 days and we're the same size as you. We're not giants either compared to these people in the promised land. But the way that we see the promised land is different than the way you see it. See, they had this thing figured out. And in Matthew 19:26, and of course, this is way after this moment here with the Israelites, but Jesus said, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. But with God, all things are possible. And this hadn't been spoken yet, but this is the reality that Joshua and Caleb were living in. I see the land. It's great fruit, milk and honey. It's amazing. I see the giants. And with man, it can't be done. But with God, all things, everything, is possible. With God on our side, he said he even told us that he is giving us this land. He told us it's ours. We just need to go and take it. Do you even remember what he's actually brought us through this last years? Bringing us out of Egypt. Taking care of us, doing all these things. Do you even, I just imagine, I don't know, maybe it's just me. If it was me, if I was the Joshua in this scripture, I hope that I, it's always easier to look back and say that you'd do this. So maybe, I don't know. But I feel like I would be like, how have you forgotten what God has done for us to get us to this point? How have you forgotten the plagues and the getting out of Egypt and the parting of seas and him sustaining us? How have you forgotten what he's done? And in Numbers 14, verse 9, you've got now the 10 spies have come and they've like given their report and they're like, we can't do it. They're giants. It's not possible. We can't go in there. And they're speaking this to the people. Now all the people are crying and wailing and they're like, oh, what are we going to do? And in Numbers 14:9, it says, only do not rebel against the Lord. This is Joshua and Caleb, by the way, in case you couldn't tell. Don't fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Listen to this. God is calling them into this land. And the people don't realize that their worry and their fretting over these obstacles is actually rebelling against God. It's a rebellion against what God is asking them to do. And so, we see this scripture, do not rebel against God. Don't fear. These people are actually going to be our bread. These people are the ones, like, it's just, he's saying, listen, this is not some big obstacle. This is actually our sustenance. This is what God has created us to do and calling us to do in this moment. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. Don't rebel against God. The Lord is with us, and he's not with them. So don't be afraid. See, Joshua and Caleb, they weren't derailed by the obstacles. They saw the obstacle. See, that's the thing. A lot of times when somebody's like, well, I'm just living in reality, it's like, you don't see what I see. I see what you see, but I choose to have faith in God and to believe that he is my sustainer, that he is my protection, that he is my strength, that he has everything that I need. It doesn't mean that I don't see it. It doesn't mean that you don't see it. Just means that you're not measuring these things up to yourself, but you're measuring them up to God, who he is, his strength, his ability. See, these obstacles, these giants are grasshoppers. See, they're the ones that are grasshoppers in God's sight. If that, you know, I mean, look, it's God, so like, it's like a speck of dust or less. It's not even a grasshopper. And that's the funny thing. Whenever you look at it, and, well, I'm just looking at it. I'm just seeing what's reality here or this, like, what's actually standing in front of me. I can't just, like, close my eyes and not see it. No. Why don't you see it how God sees it? Why don't you ask God to give you his eyes on the subject that you are afraid of? Say, God, I'm insignificant. I don't have enough, but let me see this through your eyes. Because when you have faith in who he is and start seeing the obstacle through his eyes, do you understand that that's when the faith rises up and then all of a sudden his strength and his ability moves through you and you just plow right through. You know what the interesting thing is? Joshua, Caleb, they spoke this, don't rebel against God. And all these people, these 10 spies, the people that were over 20 years old, the ones that were living in this moment in fear because of the report they got back from the negative spies, were crying and wailing. They didn't get to enter into the promised land. But Joshua and Caleb, because they trusted God. Listen, the people didn't enter in this moment. Joshua and Caleb said, let's go. Let's do this right now. We know who God is. We know what he's calling us to and what he's given us. Let's go take this land. And they didn't go in. They were afraid. And God said, listen, they're not going to be able to actually enter into this promised land. You know, I was thinking about this. You know, there's this whole subject of, like, the words you speak, and can we speak things into existence? And no, you can't. God does. But I was thinking about this scripture right here and just kind of got some realization of that the thing that we speak into existence is when we lack the faith to trust God and we say, this is not going to happen. I'm not going to be able to defeat this thing that's standing in front of me. We won't be able to go into this land and eat the milk and honey, the grapes that are so huge that two men have to carry them. We won't be able to go in there and do that, or whatever it is that you see that God has placed in front of you, the place where he's calling you to go, and you see it, but there's some obstacle, and you say, I just can't do it. And you say, see? It didn't happen. I didn't go. Well, let me tell you, you spoke that thing into existence. Because Joshua and Caleb saw the same things, saw the same giants, saw the same fruit, all those different things, and they said, that land is ours. Let's go take it. And they walked into that land. What was the difference? It was their faith and their trust in who God was. And they were able to walk into that land. God said, if you don't want to trust me, you can stay out here. Does anybody want God to tell them that? I don't. I want God to tell me, here you go, here's the land. And then I say, God, I might not be anything. I might be insignificant. I might not be able to, in my own strength to take over this land, but with you, right? With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So I trust you and I walk forward into these things that you are calling me to. And he says, here we go. Is that you speaking something into existence? No, but it is you either allowing God to bring you in or allowing or holding God back from bringing you in. So, in essence, you've spoken something into existence. Anybody want to live there? Live that way? I don't. I want to live with fear. I want to live in the promised land. There are things that God is calling us to. There are obstacles in the way, but they're insignificant compared to God. Hebrews 12, verse 12 through 13, it says, therefore strengthen the hands which hang down. Listen, we all get tired. We all struggle sometimes to keep going strong, to keep pushing forward, to keep moving. Man, there's an obstacle. I don't know. Look, it's not closing your eyes and saying that there's not an obstacle, not obstacle there. But in this scripture, I love it. It says, therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. In these moments, our hands are hanging down, our heads down, like, oh my gosh, you know? Like, anybody can come to God like that? I know I have before. Sorry to admit it, but I have. Like, God, why, you know, is this happening? And why am I having to walk through this? And I feel like God sometimes has spoken this scripture over me. Strengthen those hands that hang down. Those hands that are hanging down, lift them up and make a muscle in the mirror or something, you know? It's like my son Miles is working out and we go and make our muscles in the mirror just to see, because I'm trying to make sure he doesn't get bigger than I do. Those hands that are hanging down, lift them up and say they're strong. Strengthen those weak knees. You know, your knees might be shaking, but just say, no, they're strong. Make this path straight. I'm going to walk this straight line. I'm not going to turn to the left or the right or go any other way besides the way that God is calling me to. Because if we don't, listen, and here's this thing. Kind of, I feel like it gives this picture of this story of the Israelites. Make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated. To me, I saw this scripture and I was like, man, those 10 that came back with a negative report and were in fear, it's like, you know, there was their limbs were feeble and their you know, they didn't have enough strength. But because they didn't trust God, they didn't say, I'm going to strengthen these knees in who God is. My strength is in him, not in myself. I'm going to lift up these hands that are hanging down. They didn't do that. What did they do? Oh, the giants are so big. Let's all cry and wail because it's so scary over there. What happened? Their knees were dislocated and they couldn't move forward. They couldn't actually go over into the promised land that was standing right in front of them. It's interesting. I feel like this scripture kind of speaks of the 10 negative spies and then the 2, Joshua and Caleb, that came back with faith. You can either take those hanging hands and weak arms and weak knees and stand in trust and in faith in what God can do and allow him to strengthen you and be healed. It says that so that what is lame may not be dislocated, or they could be dislocated, but rather allow God to heal what is lacking in you and to bring you up and to strengthen your legs and to strengthen your hands so that you can move forward into all that he's calling you to. God is calling you and I into great places. Even this month, even next month, in whatever season, it doesn't matter what is going on. It doesn't matter what obstacle lies before us. All that matters is who God is. Make straight path for your feet. I want to look straight ahead and say, oh, look, there's an obstacle. Like, I just was thinking about, I don't know, it's like sometimes I'm just like, what is my brain doing? And I'm studying and I get these like pictures and these like, it's almost like I play out a whole movie scene in my head of the Israelites, you know, and the 10 spies. And I'm thinking like, man, they're like falling all over the ground. Oh my gosh, we're grasshoppers. We're doing all this stuff and they're giants. And then I take it and I'm like, okay, rewind it. And let's play this scene differently. And then all of a sudden, let's play it with them having such faith. Or in the eyes of Joshua and Caleb. Oh my gosh, they're giants. It's so amazing. I just can't even believe it. Look at this. We're grasshoppers. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing what God does. A little grasshopper jumping on a giant. It's just like, pew, you know? Ant-Man, the movie. Anybody seen that? You're like this big, but you got the strength of like 1,000 people. I don't even know how that happens. See? I told you, my brain is weird. We're grasshoppers. It's going to be so awesome when God does this thing, whenever we walk into the promised land and all the giants run away scared at the grasshoppers they're looking at. Because that's what God does. That's what he does, right? Gideon's army. I'm just going. Is it time to stop? Too many guys. You're going to have to get rid of some of them. Let's take them through some tests, you know, like see which ones lap up water, which ones are watching, whatever. 300, okay. That's what God does. Is he uses things. He uses the obstacles. He's not like trying to make things hard for us, but he uses those things to strengthen us. He uses those things to show his glory in the world around us. Man, I want to be like that. Would you guys stand with me? I want to be like that. how big that obstacle is. You see it? It's huge. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. Tomorrow I'm going to wake up. My grasshopper little self. And I'm going to take on this obstacle, but it's not going to be me. It's going to be God. And that thing is just going to go away. It's going to explode. It's not going to be there. Whatever. I don't know. God is just going to scare it and it's going to run away. I don't know, but it's going to be awesome. Because God is awesome, right? That's the faith that we need to have. Just thinking about this people, this the Israelites here, thinking about today, tomorrow. So many things. There's always things. So many things. But I want to look forward to tomorrow and say, hey, there you go. Something else God is going to do. Hey, there you go. Next month might be difficult. Something else God is going to do to show me how amazing and how good and how gracious and how strong that He is. Because that's who He is. That is who He is. That's how good He is. God is faithful to do what He said He would do. You know, I'm gonna pray in just a second. Again, whenever I speak, I know that most of the time I'm speaking to myself and hopefully God speaks through you, you know? And I'm not saying I'm wallowing around wailing and crying because I, you know, I'm in such fear, but look, we're all in the same place. And I find these thoughts coming into my head like, God, what about this? God, what about that? And I just feel like God is speaking in this moment. And I just really hope that we all hear this. That God is saying, you were made. You were created. You were created. You were created. You were created for such a time as this. You were created for this time. See and understand who God has created you to be. Understand who He is. And all of a sudden say, look, can I give you an assignment? When you find yourself questioning something or feeling that tinge of fear come in or worry, and it can be about anything because there's so many things that we could possibly worry about. But when you feel that, and I don't know if you're going to be in a place, don't do it if you're in your car, but like I feel like God is just, I just want to give this picture. I want to have this picture in my mind and do this. And if something comes up in my mind that I'm questioning or that I'm being afraid of, then I want to stand up and say, my legs are strong. They're not weak. I want to take my arms and say, my arms are strong. They're not weak. I am going to stand firm. Like stand up, unless you're in your car. Stand up and say, I am not weak. I am strong in who God is. I am strong. It's not you speaking something into existence. It's grabbing hold of what God has for you. You're allowing him to take you to that place. Another weird picture, but just okay, just listen, okay? And I just imagine, you know, whenever we agree with God in something, in the strength that he wants to place in us, in what he wants to do with us, and I just imagine it's like this train coming by. It's God and his glory and who he is, and he's on the move. He's constantly moving. He doesn't stop. He doesn't take a break. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get weak. And we're standing there, and we stand up. And I just felt like this picture of my mind, it's like I just reach out. It's like reaching out and grabbing hold of that moving train of who God is and his glory and his strength and his power, because it doesn't stop. And all of a sudden, it's just like, you know, and it just takes you along. Whenever you feel that moment, that thought of fear or worry come in, just say, no, I'm reaching out and grabbing a hold of the power of God. I'm reaching out and grabbing hold of his strength, of who he is. And that train is moving. His power, his strength, he is always going. He doesn't tire. He doesn't grow weary. And I'm grabbing hold. And I can't help but move along with him. And that is what happens. Amen? Will you guys all do that? Just get a little crazy. You get something comes up and just grab hold. Just jump up and grab hold. Father God, we thank you so much for who you are. Whatever obstacle may possibly be in our way, God, I pray that we see not what it is, but who you are. We see your strength, your ability, God, your power. And I just pray that in whatever moment when we see who you are, you just strengthen our feeble knees, God. That they won't be dislocated, but they'll be healed. That we can walk in strength. That we can walk forward into the promised land of what you are calling us to today. Strengthen our hands and our legs so that we can be the hands and feet. So that we can take who you are to all those around us. So that people can see your glory and your power. Because God, that is the only thing that is going to defeat the enemy. That is the only thing.
Thanks for listening today. We pray this message encourages you. If you have any questions or you'd like to learn more about us as a church, you can always visit us online by going to lifechurchstl.com.